It is KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday morning. Casey Miners joined with Jeff Plankman in his studio talking a little Boys State basketball. We'll talk about the NCAA Men's Tournament. Also run over the KCIM Sports Rewind event that happened over the weekend, as well as we had plenty of action for you over the weekend. Also, three Iowa teams make it into the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament and all that stuff, so should be really good. I think a really good time for the state of Iowa this week, especially for the area, because we got a lot of Cyclone fans in the area and everything like that. They get a two-seed in the NCAA Tournament. Jeff, we'll talk about Boys State basketball first. What a terrific run it was by Carolyn Kemper down there at the Casey Center in Des Moines. Kemper losing in a heartbreaker in the state championship game, had a chance to tie it late there in the game.
Yep.
Carroll loses by two in the state semifinals, but a good showing regardless for the Carroll community and what the kids in this area are capable of.
Yeah, we'll start with Carroll and then talk about Kemper's run to the championship. We talked last week about that Carroll win over Pella to open things up. I know probably not what they're going to think is the greatest first three quarters against a Ballard team that they had already faced twice, but I look at it and say, you know, you get down 18-5 in the first quarter, a lot of teams are going to roll over and the game's going to get really ugly. But you could see Carroll kind of settled in the second quarter, and I thought they were the better team on the floor for the entire second half, not just for the fourth quarter where Carroll outscored them 21-9, but I thought they came out and I thought the physicality that Ballard played with gave him some problems in the first half. I thought Carroll was the more physical and more aggressive team in the second half and kind of finally punched back. You know how everybody kind of talks, you get punched in the face. I think Carroll kind of punched back in the second half. Had a chance, you know, Jared Moore with that great shot down on the baseline that sent him to the free throw line. He knocked down that jumper, and they had a chance there late to, you know, tie things up and grab a lead and stuff. But just credit them for a great effort, never quitting, and that coaching job for kind of, you know, getting the adjustments made that they needed to made, but get made. But, yeah, I thought Carroll gave a great showing.
I thought they did, too. I mean, it says something, as you mentioned, to be down 18-5 to a team you've already lost to twice this year, and it lost by 16 points both times. You know, to jump down that early, I think if you, a lot of teams would have just rolled over and said, you know what, not our game. You know, Ballard was better for the first 5 minutes of that game, and then I think what really helped in that game was them going on a run late.
Yes.
In the first half. They went on a little bit of a run, saw some momentum, saw some baskets fall, and I think their first basket was a three, if I remember correctly, and I think that's kind of when things turn to. You see that first. Sometimes with kids, you see that first basket go in, and then it's like, okay, we can do this.
Yep. Yeah. You look at, you know, Ballard this year, you take out the one loss to ADM because, of course, that's going to be, you know, where they're outscored. But three of their five closest wins this year were against Carroll. You know, that says a lot. They came in beating teams by about 30 points per game. But, you know, all three of the games that Carroll played, that tells you the defense that Carroll played against them. I know Coach Beeson said beforehand that they needed to go out and score more than 41 points, and they did.
Yeah.
But 55 just wasn't quite enough. But, you know, what a run. Nobody anticipated this team besides probably themselves. They weren't preseason ranked. Yeah. People weren't talking about them as a Raccoon River Conference contender. A year ago they had gone under 500. What a bounce back year for them.
Yeah, I will full heartedly admit it. I thought Carroll was going to be good. I thought they'd be above 500, but a state semifinalist, I don't know if a lot of people would have saw that coming. So congratulations to the Tigers on a great year. Coach Beeson, you know, another fantastic season there as head coach. And I thought it's kind of interesting, their games that they played down there. You get against a team that's going to take your spot in the Raccoon River Conference, and then you get to end your season against a team that you faced, you know, all the time in the Raccoon River Conference on your way out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to almost get them, it would have been fun to kind of walk out with a win against a team from that conference. You know, especially considering they would have probably still gotten ADM in the finals, and you know, what a way to close things out. But I still think they kind of walk out with their heads held high, and and showing that, you know, a third place finish overall, you know, a third or a fourth place finish, however you want to look at it, down at the state tournament means they don't host a third place game anymore. Technically, they're third because they lost to the eventual champion, you know, and stuff. But you know, I you're the Hawkeye 10 right now, you're kind of going, what do we got coming in?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And speaking of the Hawkeye 10, Kemper went down the state tournament, won pretty good in the first game against Union. Second game against Trainer, a little bit closer. They sneak out a win there and then eventually losing the state championship game to Unity, who I – Kemper fans probably upset about the loss to Unity because Kemper came in as the one seed. But if you look at the rankings all season long, until Unity lost late, they were the number one team throughout the whole year pretty much.
Yeah, those two were either one or two all season long and kind of switched back and forth. And, you know, in talking to people that I trust with knowledge around the state and talking to some of the officials with the association even, that winner of the, you know, Unity Western Christian quarterfinal round game, everybody said that's going to be probably the team that challenges Kemper the most. Now, it did play out that Trainer gave him every kind of a scare in that semifinal round win as Kemper jumped up big, and then Trainer dominated that second quarter. If you, and you can't take away points, so I'm not doing that, but Kemper goes on a little 5-0 spurt to end that second quarter. At one point, they had gotten outscored 16-2. In the second quarter of play. But, you know, they got it going again in the third, and then Trainer made that run, and then they made the defensive stop there at the end of the game to get themselves into the finals and set up that one first two matchup, which is, I think, the matchup that most people around the state that pay attention to 2A kind of wanted. It was either Kemper against Unity or Kemper against Western Christian, and they got the Kemper-Unity matchup, and it was a great game. I know a lot of people frustrated with the officiating. I will say that I didn't realize that there was a 23-14 foul difference, you know, 23 against Kemper and 14 against Unity in that game until I looked at the final stats. But I will say that, you know, Mason and Doug called the game for us. Mason and I sat through, besides last Tuesday, we sat through almost every game down at the state tournament. Yeah. We were down there for them. That was probably the best officiated game that we saw as far as the way the game was called. Not saying that it was perfect. No game's ever officiated perfect. They're human beings, you know, and they make mistakes. But I thought it was a well-officiated game. It just, you know, some things didn't end up going Kemper's way down the stretch, and, you know, they fall down early. So something different in that game is Kemper had jumped on both Union and Trainer early. This time it was Unity Christian coming out and grabbing that big lead early.
Yeah, and I thought that Kemper did a nice job of responding because late in that game when they were sending Unity to the free throw line, they could have said, okay, you know, there's no chance for us to catch up, but Unity misses two big free throws, and Glenn goes down and nails a three, which was huge for him to give him some momentum. So credit the kids for never quitting in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to say this probably certainly was for Kemper. I don't want anybody to think that. But I've learned in all of the years, and I've talked to you about it and even Mason some about it, and, you know, and Doug Waniger, who helped call the game that night. You know, I've done so many games where you have two local teams playing each other. And I've realized over the years that when you do your post-game interviews, the coach that comes up that wins always says what they can have done better to have won by more, and the coach that loses comes up and talks about what they could have done to change the outcome that have, you know, to could have won them the game. So I've kind of learned to analyze kind of in a neutral way, and fans have a hard time doing that. I was getting bombarded with text messages that night telling me how horrible the officiating was and how it was all one-sided, and it was funny because after the game I looked at Mason and Doug, so I was sitting next to him. I says, where do you rank this for the officiating for the tournament? And they're like, this was the best officiated game that we saw, you know, and stuff. So, but you go back and everybody talks about, you know, oh, Griffin might have gotten fouled on that foul play. You brought it up. I actually talked to the Unity coach because he came and stood by me in the media room as I was, you know, waiting to get a chance for the Kemper kids to come in with Coach Manahan. And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, wow, what a game. He goes, we get our two best free throw shooters, the two guys we want, foul late, and we go 1-for-4.
Yeah.
Both guys shot over 80% from the line. You know, if you're a Unity fan, you sit here and go, that final shot from Griffin wouldn't have meant anything if we'd have made those free throws. So when you look at things kind of in that neutral, you know, way, you know, there's always going to be a few things here and there that could have changed the outcome of the game. But, you know, I get, like you said, give Kemper credit. They look like they were, you know, in really serious hot water After that first quarter, Unity was able to just get to the rim and score, and they were shutting Kemper down. And then Kemper comes out in the second quarter and starts playing like Kemper.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and settled in. Four turnovers in the first seven possessions, and then they ended up with one turnover the rest of the first half. They actually had, what was it, six turnovers? No. Yeah, six turnovers going into the fourth quarter. So four in the first couple of minutes of the game. Two all the way going into the fourth quarter from that point on. So they settled in and gave themselves a chance.
I'm smiling because you discredited Mason's game. What was it? The ChatGPT stuff that he put together. and they said that if Unity forces like 10 turnovers, that there's a good chance that they win. And I think Kemper finished with right around that mark for turnovers.
I think they had 9 or 10. Yeah, and a few of them were late. Yeah, I didn't discredit. I just said that, you know, I prefer watching the game. I'm not a math guy. Yeah. I love math, don't get me wrong. But I'm not a math formula guy to tell me who a better team is and stuff like that. I like to be able to watch and analyze. That's just part of my generation and stuff. I like to be able to watch and analyze and stuff. But, yeah, you know, that stuff did come out pretty close. The one thing, the number that jumps out the most to me is the assist number. If I remember correctly, I think Kemper finished with 9 assists in the game.
That's not like Kemper.
No, when they're at their best, they're around that 20 or more mark. And I think in both the trainer game and in the Unity game, it became probably a little more one-on-one type of ball, meaning either whoever brought it down or it was one pass and then that person attacked. And there wasn't the consistent attack. Somebody cuts, they make that extra pass, which is when Kemper's so fun to watch. It was a lot of whoever drove to the hoop or whoever got the ball was going to take that first shot. And I think that impacted their ability to run their offense the way they wanted to.
Yeah, and I thought so too, but you got to talk about the basketball for the area that we saw you know, down there. I mean, both teams making a great run. You know, Kemper's going to bring back quite a bit. Carroll moves into the Hawkeye 10 next year. So, you know, both programs, I think, well ahead of expectations and what they saw, and I think should bring back some really nice pieces next year.
Yeah, and I know Carroll graduates a ton, but, you know, this is Randy graduates a ton every year.
Yeah.
And how often do they – you know, have I know last year was a rough season, but most of the time they've got everybody prepared and ready, and those kids just step in and take over the new roles. And, you know, they might have a bump or two early in the year. And then you look at Kemper, you lose some great players. I think Jack Bating may be one of the most underrated as far as value of importance out on the court players that I've seen. He does so many things that don't always show up in the statistical category, and he's really important. But you got guys like Dylan Schoen and Griffin Glenn coming back, and Teddy Perkins, who got some starting experience for him this year. You know, Easton Gifford, you know, and then from everything you hear from all the kids, the young kids that play JV and freshmen, and even the junior high kids are going to be coming into the program. It sounds like this program could be loaded for the next 8 to 10 years.
Which is good. It's what we want to see. Yep, we want to see good basketball played in the area and everything like that. Just recap the basketball season a little bit. You know, expectations of what we saw now that the winter sports season is officially over. We've got, you know, spring season going to be here before we know it. Just overall thoughts on kind of how you felt the basketball season went.
I thought basketball, wrestling, you know, boys swimming was incredible this year. I thought all of those things went really, really well. You know, you look at it, I can't remember the last time we had two teams at the state boys basketball tournament. It might have been 2010. You know, and we sent two, and realistically probably should have had a third. You know, Coon Rapids Baird was good enough to be down there. That was proved by what they did all season long. And when you have three teams playing at the level that those three teams played at all season, I think it says a lot for what we had for basketball around this area on the boys' side. On the girls' side, Exira makes it down there, Exira Okren Kimbleton. So nice to get a girls' team. It's been a while since, you know, we had a girls' team. I think it was a Riley Battis junior
South
year with Kylie Schleichman in that group up at South Central Calhoun was our last group. But we haven't had a lot of girls' teams make it down to state. We had that really nice run there with South Central Calhoun, Ike Manning, or Weaver, you know, kind of in a, you know, in a nice little grouping of several years in a row. But, you know, it's been about a decade since we had you know, much for girls teams down there. And then the way they played against St. Albert and some of the other good teams that we had, you know, Kemper had an outstanding year under Justin Yetmar. I love what the freshmen and the youth did over at Glidden, not to take anything away from their senior class. That was certainly a part of that, but you got to be excited about the future of Glidden-Ralston. You know, I thought it was a really good basketball season. And then you have two runners up in wrestling, you know, one on the boys' side and one on the girls' side. It's, you know, the most wrestlers we've ever had on the boys' side making state, the most wrestlers we've ever had on the girls' side making state. Yeah. So I would say that, you know, we had a really good winter sports season.
We did, and I think a lot better than what people might see, you know, from the casual fan, but a really good winter sports season.
Yeah, well, and two All-American swimmers. You know, how can you – the greatest season in Kemper boys swimming history, bar none.
And Carroll boys did a fantastic job of swimming. And we honored all of them at the KCIM Sports Rewind event over the weekend. We'll talk some KCIM Sports Rewind, one of you through some of the teams and all that when we come back here. You're listening to KCIM Sports Rewind here on this Tuesday.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM Carroll. Broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studios. You'd rather be here.
Sorry about that little interruption there, folks, on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM.
We would rather be here, right?
Yeah, we would rather be here. One thing I want to mention, and it's got to do with Iowa basketball. So,
hey, the men and women both made the NCAA tournament.
They did, but a local connection. If you watch the Iowa, if you see it online, if you watch the Iowa women's, watch party, Harper Stribe, who would be the AD, old AD at Carroll's, Keith Stribe's granddaughter, battled childhood cancer for the longest time, is a really big part of the Iowa women's basketball team, and head coach Jan Jensen, you know, absolutely loves that kid, and you can see it. Got the chance to design a Nike shoe for the Iowa women's basketball team, and gave them to him and everything like that. So I do want to say that you can go purchase those shoes, and they look really cool and everything like that. But what a cool local connection there with, you know, Keith being the old AD at Carroll, longtime basketball coach Nolan, and you know, Sarah, I think, got to play for Jan when she was at Drake. So you know, quite little neat local connection there with that.
Yeah, absolutely, and what a story, sad story that she's having to deal with everything, but she's made so much out of what she's had to deal with and has been a shining light, I think, for people that are dealing with that on what you can accomplish while you're going through the struggles that she's had health-wise. But, yeah, what a story, and it's great to see the relationship that, you know, she's been able to build with that you know, Iowa women's basketball program over there. So
I hate to promote something that doesn't advertise with us, but you know, it's a great thing for you to go doing. And I'm not sure if the proceeds go back to help fighting cancer or anything like that, but you can purchase those shoes, and it's got a neat little local connection.
Yeah, absolutely, a great local connection. Yeah. You know, Keith, a former AD and boys basketball coach at Carroll High, still drives the activities bus to a lot of the sporting events. So you know, his family's still big with Carroll Athletics. And you know, Nolan, Sarah, and the kids were all great athletes and great people that have come out of there. So,
yeah, we had KCIM Sports Rewind. The event was on Sunday. Great turnout for it. Or Saturday, actually. It was a great turnout for it and everything like that. We'll run you through the teams. But, Jeff, how you felt Saturday went? I thought it was really good for everybody that came out.
I did, too. As I kind of said that day, and they maybe announced it here earlier on Rewind, too, that, you know, I picked a bad weekend to do it. You know, I tried to stay away from all the state AAU stuff and everything, and it's getting harder to do that. I didn't realize I picked it on the weekend that so many families were going to be taking off for, you know, spring break vacations. So that kind of limited the amount of kids that were available to be able to come. But, you know, the one thing everybody always asks, I know Kim Hackett, our general manager and owner, came in and said, you know, how did you feel like it went? You know, I heard you had some lower numbers. And I'm like, you know, what I always look at is when Jeff Strahan sends me the link to the photos, what are the kids doing on the floor? And you look out there and they're smiling, they're laughing, they're having fun. And that's what the entire event, you know, that and the coaches. Yeah. I want the coaches to enjoy their time. I thought it was really cool to see back behind me when I was doing the PA for stuff that, you know, you had Coach Jelly and Coach, you know, Minahan and Coach Vaughn and Coach Yetmar, all those guys kind of sitting back there, you know, talking and chatting. And I think it was kind of fun to see, you know, coaches that maybe don't always get a chance, yeah. you know, because I had asked Coach Yelly and Coach Yetmar, do you guys know each other? They're like, well, we saw each other at a coaches meeting once, you know, so didn't really, but now they got a yeah. chance to chat and, yeah. and, you know, and to see kids be able to maybe make some friends and get to know some of the other kids from the area and not through social media mm-hmm. where it's that one-on-one conversation and stuff. I'm glad that it worked out the way it did. I thought it went really well. You were there. What did you think?
I thought it went really well, too. I think the boys game turned into a dunk contest like
which
it does
it
every
has,
year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but you like to see it, though, because the kids had fun. You know, and I think that's, like you mentioned, that's the important part is seeing, you know, all the smiling faces out there because the parents, you know, they like it, too. They like to come yep. out and support and all that stuff. And I think it just speaks to how big it's grown
yep.
To and everything like that, that, you know, you see the kids wearing the T-shirts and everything like that out in the area.
Yeah, and Jenna Subert, Trey Tasso winning our three-point yep. shooting contest. Thought Carson Webker from South Central Calhoun was going to be our second boys wrestler, you know, from South Central to win it. But, you know, Tyler Tasso went out and ended up shooting really well, or Trey Tasso, yeah. I should say. I, for some reason, always call him Tyler, call him his dad's name because I've dealt with Tyler a lot in the past. But, yeah, I had a good time, and I think the kids did. We're going to move the event to a different weekend next year and yeah. Hopefully it will have less conflicts. That's the one thing we're always looking for. You know, we want as many kids and coaches and parents and grandparents to be able to attend as possible, and not for us. This is all about honoring the kids and the coaches. And when I schedule it on a day that they can't be there to be honored, it's disappointing
yeah, it is. Yeah.
because you're not able to, you know, honor them for what they were
give
able to
the
accomplish.
Give them the recognition yep. that they deserve. You know,
yep. Yep. absolutely.
Yep. We'll take a look at our teams. You want to start with girls wrestling?
Yep, absolutely.
All righty. Right ahead. Well, I will start with second team, and these again were announced at the event coming up on last Saturday. Your second team wrestlers were Jalen Ezekiel, South Central Calhoun, Riley Massey of Kemper, Lucy Potoff of Kemper, and Madigan Hoyt of Kemper. From Carol Bree Kiger, Maggie Dirks, Cammie Jones, and Alexis Esquivel. And then from Audubon was Jordan Mulford.
We'll move now to the first team from South Central Calhoun. Again, Mia Heffley, Goldie Davis, and Emery Kramer. From Kemper, Kara Schutte and Sadie Smith. From Carroll High, Emma Grossman and Emma Daniels. From Audubon, Elena Harbor, and also Macy Rasmus. And Macy was also named for a second straight year our Girls Wrestler of the Year.
And that Coach of the Year was Shane Vaughn, a Kemper. Others in consideration were Joe Daniels there from Carroll.
And both of those guys did tremendous jobs. It's hard when you invite coaches and then you announce, you know, that only one of them is being honored. Mm-hmm. But we certainly want the other coaches to realize that we were, you know, incredibly impressed with the jobs that they did, and the discussions are never easy. But we thought that under Shane this year, the jump that the girls program made as a whole, and just seeing how many wrestlers took huge steps forward, was a real credit to the job he did, especially stepping in as a guy that was also trying to coach the boys program yeah. and had been the boys coach for a long time, you know, and stuff, to have to split his time and still to see, you know, the jump. And the girls really talked a lot about the, you know, how much homework he puts into it, how he puts, you know, wrestling plans together for them as far as how they want to go out and wrestle against the competitors that they were wrestling with. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw those girls have so much success this season.
We'll jump over to boys wrestling. I'll start with the second team from Audubon. We've got Lane Elmquist, John Rasmussen, Carter Obermeyer, and Lane Meyer from a Carroll, Carson Tedrow, and Caden Clucky. Coon Rapids Baird saw Ethan Bauer. East Sac County had Dawson Allen from a Kemper, Beckett Wernemont, and McGuire Hoyt. And then from a South Central Calhoun, Curtis Bullock, Braden Warnerberg, and Cooper Natras.
And from the first team, we'll start with Coon Rapids Baird, Johnny Cortez, along with Caleb Hoffman and Trainer Coase. From the Audubon Wheelers, Leighton Elmquist. From the Carroll Tigers, Gavin Holt, along with Kieran Polking and Quentin Polking as well. And then from South Central Calhoun, Jace Peterson. And our first team wrestler and wrestler of the year for a second straight year, Carson Webker from South Central Calhoun, again, who finished up runner-up. Our other finalists for our wrestler of the year, as we had a lot of guys discuss this year, Caleb Hoffman of Coon Rapids Baird, Quentin Polking of Carroll, and Trainer Coase from Coon Rapids Baird.
The coach of the year ended up going to Eric Noggle from McCarroll, but others in consideration were the co-head coaches from South Central, Calhoun, and Lance Schultz and Colin Corey.
Yeah, and those two did a tremendous job with what's still a young team. I have a feeling we're going to get very used to seeing them at our Rewind All-Star festivities here with so many sophomores on that group and so many guys that made the state tournament. But, you know, when you looked at a lot of the head-to-head and stuff and just the way the Tigers wrestled in a very strong Raccoon River Conference and the job that Eric and his staff did this year, I think a lot of people thought that, you know, with what they lost, they might take a step back, and they ended up being probably one of the more dominant teams that we've seen, especially the back half of the season.
We'll turn our attention to boys swimming, and we came out with co-swimmers this year, and we talked about them a lot on KCIM Sports Rewind this year. Our co-swimmers of the year were Tegan Renzi and Allegan Sees from the Carroll Boys Swimming Team, and Jeff, you mentioned it, they had a fantastic season.
Yeah, two All-Americans. I even said something and joked with them the other day. It's like, you know, we debated and we talked and we debated, and it's like, how do you split the two? One gets named District Swimmer of the Year, and then the other one goes down to state and wins the state championship, you know?
Yeah.
It was just easy. That both of them deserved to be honored, and it was just the easiest way and probably the smartest way to do it. It was just to go with co-swimmers of the year. We'll move now to girls bowling. Morgan Williams from Carroll had a tremendous year leading kind of a young group, still trying to, you know, kind of find their footing at Carroll High, just having offered bowling now for 2 years. But she did a great job this year. Kind of the same thing with Randy Bauer. Kind of came out of nowhere in a way to end up being their best bowler, you know, from about the midpoint of the season on.
And speaking of Randy Bauer, Jeff, he was named the Boys Bowler of the Year. Others in consideration for that were Fletch Bating and Cody Bauer of Carroll. But Randy Bauer, you mentioned, had a fantastic season for the Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. And very impressed with what he was able to accomplish this year. Had the highest average per game of any of our bowlers in the area. And as you mentioned, Fletch Bating of Kemper and Cody Bauer of Carroll were the other two finalists for that honor.
We'll turn our attention to girls basketball. I'll start with honorable mention. From Coon Rapids Baird was Ashton Clucky. From East Sac County, Reese Ashinger. Glenn Ralston with a couple of girls of Cassidy Wink and Olivia Squibb. Peyton Sherdan had Olivia Smith, and South Central Calhoun was Sadie Wheelock.
We'll move now to third team from Carroll. Chloe Cook from South Central Calhoun, Macy Dorman. From the Exiroken Kimbledon Spartans, Harlow Miller and Cadence Brandon Spore. And from the Kemper Knights, Addie Ann Dover and Kaylee Slimans.
On the second team from East Sac County was Sarah Bontrager. Coon Rapids Baird had Malia Clayberg from Glidden Ralston and Jenna Subert and a Chloe Peters, too. Those really good freshmen there at Glidden. Ike Manning was Keegan Ashide, and then from South Central Calhoun, Blair Schleichman.
We'll move now to first team from the Kemper Knights, Elsa Tiefenthaler from IKM Manning and Stangle. From Coon Rapids Baird, Anna Hart. From the Carroll Tigers, Allie Cook. From Exiroken Kimbledon, Jalen Peterson. And then Taryn Peterson also was named to the first team, and she was our Girls Basketball Player of the Year for a second straight year. We've kind of got a theme here
going
with you know, people winning these things for a second straight year.
We did something different this year as well and honored a sixth Player of the Year, and to somebody that doesn't get all of the starts and all the recognition, but, you know, comes off the bench and provides a spark for their team. And we went for the girls' side with Morgan Mashing from Kemper.
Yeah, we've done this a few times over the years. It seems like every now and then you get that player. I remember Kaylee Simons won it as a freshman, wasn't a starter, but came in and played such an integral part of what they were able to do. And Morgan Mashing kind of did that exact same thing for the Kemper Knights this year and had a special year for them. Did want to mention the other finalist as well for our Player of the Year was Elsa Tiefenthaler of Kemper and Jalen Peterson of Exiroken Kimbledon. Both of those young ladies had fantastic seasons. Our Coach of the Year was Tom Peterson from Exiroken Kimbledon, again leading them to the Girls State Basketball Tournament, is also up for a National Coach of the Year honor this year as well. Two other finalists, we kind of mentioned them earlier that they were at the All-Star event. Eric Yelly from Glidden-Ralston, what a fantastic job he did in his first year there. And I think if you're a Glidden-Ralston girls basketball fan or just a fan of basketball in this area, you're going to really enjoy what he's doing over there and where that program is heading. And then Justin Yetmar, a couple of years now as the head coach at Kemper and takes him to a regional final and has done just an absolutely fantastic job. You look at the development of some of those young players like a Morgan Mashing, like an Addie Entover, and what him and his staff have been able to, you know, get out of those young ladies tells you that the job that they do.
Yeah, fantastic season for Kemper. We'll switch over to boys basketball. I'll start with honorable mention again. From ICAM Manning was Brock Kusel. South Central Calhoun had Charlie Natras. From Arweva, Hayden Studer. From Coon Rapids, Baird Bryce Lewis. From Audubon, Aiden Kiergaard. And then Glidden Ralston and Dawson Majerus.
Also a second page there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Yep. Then all from Glidden Ralston as well, Grayson Renzi. South Central Calhoun's Garrett Krause, and then Arweva again at Derek Thompson.
We'll move now to third team from the Carroll Tigers, Luol Thargiath and Trey Tassel. From ICAM Manning, Wyatt Danner. From South Central Calhoun, Evan Myers. From Audubon, Brody Schultes. And from Kemper, Jack Bating.
We'll look at second team now for boys basketball. From Arweva, Wyatt Regaler. From Kemper, Dylan Schoen. Peyton Trudan, Trayvon Keeley. From Audubon, Austin Christensen, Carroll Matt Collison, and then Coon Rapids Baird Caden Oswald.
We'll move now to our first team kids, Ben Ramsey from IKM Manning, Jared Moore from Carroll High, who, you know, tough to see that he didn't make the all-tournament team down at state, because he certainly was quality enough of a player to have been honored on that. From the Kemper Knights, Ryan Clare and Griffin Glenn. And then from Coon Rapids Baird, the brothers, Ty Hayden. And then Cal Hayden was named first team as well as our boys basketball player of the year for a second year in a row. The other finalist for that honor, and all of these guys had great years and certainly were a part of that discussion when our group got together, Ryan Clare of Kemper, Griffin Glenn of Kemper, Ben Ramsey of ICAM Manning, and Jared Moore of Carroll were all guys that received discussion and kind of votes and discussion and just talk about whether or not they were that player of the year.
For the boys, again, this year we did a sixth man of the year for a guy that comes off the bench and does a terrific job. And I think the girls, I felt like Morgan was more defensive energy. Jorgen Nowatzki of Audubon provides energy, but also a really good scoring punch off the bench for
him. Yeah, he is so athletic and can score in so many different ways. And not that he can't play defense either. He's a good defender. He blocks shots. He can lock you down man-to-man. But it seems like he's probably more known for what he adds to that team on the offensive side of the ball. We went with co-coaches this year. Two guys that, we had three finalists, and all three did just tremendous jobs. It was tough not going with tri-coaches of the year, honestly. But Sean Minahan of Kemper, a lot of people say, well, they were picked preseason number one. They were supposed to be good. Well, yeah, and you lose your best player, five games into the year, and he doesn't come back, and you still make your way into the state championship game. You're still number one going in. You end up losing a heartbreaker by three in that championship game, and you're right there at the very end. That's coaching. That's getting kids to rally. That's getting kids to understand they have new roles and new responsibilities, and you get everybody to up their level. And you get guys like Teddy Perkins to come off the bench and contribute and become a starter, and Tanner Bating and Tryon and all the guys that came in and pitched in to make that team what they were. And Jack Bating all of a sudden having to become a leader. That's a guy coaching his kids and getting them to take it to another level. So I think Sean did an absolutely fantastic job this year. And then Randy Beeson as well from the Carroll Tigers. We talked about it earlier. Last year they had a below 500 season, which I think is his first. And I don't think many people anticipated this kind of a jump. But, they didn't just finish third in the toughest conference in the entire state in the Raccoon River Conference. They finished third in Class 3A. And that tells you what they were able to accomplish this year. And the game planning that him and his coaching staff do was really impressive to me this season.
And you mentioned they finished third at state. Well, the two teams that went to the state championship were also the two teams that finished ahead of them ahead in the Raccoon River Conference. Fantastic season for both those coaches there, Carroll and Kemper.
Yeah, and our other finalist was of course, Seth Streben, first year down at Coon Rapids Baird, and had them ranked in the top five by the time the regular season ended. They just ran into a team that had lost their best player early in the year and had fallen out of the rankings, and then got him back and was crawling back up the rankings when the pairings got put out. And for Coon Rapids Baird, it was an unlucky break that, even some teams in their own conference got an easier route to make it to the state tournament that they had handled throughout the regular season. And Coon got a tougher route than what they should have, probably for where they were ranked. But when you look at it, it's not a blame on the association. The team they matched them up with that that's where their record put them.
Yeah.
But they were a much better team than that because they were finally healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. That'll wrap up the winter sports season as well as this edition of KCIM Sports Rewind. Check out a podcast of it coming up in just moments here on KCIM.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM Carroll. Broadcasting from the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studios. You'd rather be